Welcome back into the La Crosse Tribune Prep Football Podcast. We're here for our Week 6 recap. We're in here in the office about midnight on Friday night, just getting everything in online and in the paper for Saturday, so definitely pick one of those up. But if you don't pick up the paper, make sure you subscribe and get the online version. You can see all of our prep coverage there. Guys, I mean, before we run through the scores, kind of a blowout night tonight. Yeah. Just looking, I was over at Caledonia. There was a blowout, and just looking throughout the prep roundup here, a lot of big number to zeros or big number to seven.
Yeah,
kind of all around the area.
One of those nights,
right?
Big blowouts early, as in first half blowouts.
Absolutely. I should probably introduce who's here. I'm Colton Bartholomew. I was over at Caledonia tonight. Todd Sommerfeld, our prep sports editor and assistant sports editor here at the Tribune, was at the Logan West Salem game, and our sports editor Jeff Brown was here in the office grabbing a lot of calls and talking with one of the big upsets of the night that we'll get into later, but Sparta taking down Central out in Sparta as a big win, but we will get into that. But before we go any further, let's run through the scores. We'll start in the MVC. Like we said, Sparta over Central 17-12. West Salem beat Logan 35-7. And let's see who else is here. Onalaska beat Tomah 43-13, and Holman beat Aquinas 58-0. In the Cooley, Westby gets by Arcadia 26-24. That was a really good game there. GET beats Onalaska Luther 59-0. And Viroqua beat Black River Falls 26-0. In the Dairyland, we had Melrose Mindoro over Augusta 55-0. In the Ridge and Valley, DeSoto beat Riverdale 8-0. Southwest Conference, we had Prairie du Chien 44-7 over Dodgeville. In the Scenic Bluffs, Bangor just housed CFC 57-0. Brookwood.
That's not a surprise, though.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, defending state champion. Yeah, that's going to happen. Yeah. Brookwood beat New Lisbon 38-14. And then over in Minnesota, Byron beat La Crescent 41-0. Houston beat Mabel Canton 42-0. And down in Iowa, 36-6 was the score for Lansing, New Albany Key over West Central.
First win for the Keyhawks.
Yeah. Nice one for them there. But, and the last one, Caledonia beat Lewis Nartura 49-7, and it wasn't that close, but we'll get into that later. Todd, let's start with the game you were at tonight. West Salem against Logan, basically two teams that need this game for West Salem's sake, to kind of assure that they're going to make the playoffs, and now Logan looking at it with a loss, and a tough loss, and that they didn't really get anything going. Yeah. Now they're looking at their playoff lives with some peril.
Yeah, this was a little different than last week's loss to Central. I thought last week when Logan got beat by Central, they still walked off the field a better team than they walked on it. They lost the game, but I think they learned a lot about themselves, and I really thought that was going to give them momentum going into this game. West Salem didn't allow that to happen even for a few minutes. They got an interception on the first possession, a ball that Maven threw a little high. Trenton Foreman got it, took it down to the 11. Two plays later, of course, giving the ball to Brendan Holt. West Salem scores, and it was just kind of on from there. And West Salem only got one more first-half touchdown. It was a nice drive at the end of the half, which was pretty big, but this game was all about the West Salem defense. It was just ridiculous. They sacked Maven seven times in the first half. 12 plays for negative yards in the game. Plus, you got three interceptions, a fumble recovery on that. Three or four more plays go for no gain. The yards were hard to come by for Logan, which only had 98 in the game. They had zero at the half, which tells you how good West Salem was in the first half. But Calvin Maven just didn't even have a chance most of the time. They snapped the ball to him. He's got somebody on him. That's how good West Salem's defense was today.
And anyone who's listened to this podcast with any regularity knows that we all very much respect the West Salem defense and know that's
love
really the
West
strength.
Salem,
yeah, that's
going
we
back
know that's a
dozen years.
Yeah, strength of their team. But watching, you can watch Todd's highlights, the videos that he's going to put up with these stories, and I suggest you do just to see what he's talking about, in the sense of West Salem is just in the backfield pretty much when the ball snapped.
Yes.
They timed up every blitz correctly, and
yes,
like you mentioned, Maven had zero chance. Not like the Logan passing game has been great throughout the year, but if he has no time, any passing game is going to be bad.
Yeah, this wasn't a situation of coverage sacks. They were on Maven as soon as he got that ball. And if he was able to hand it off, whoever he gave it to was taking the hit behind the line too. I think Holt had three sacks in the first half, and Glassmaker had two. They got sacks from and big hits from a lot of players. Dylan Knoll had at least one nice hit. Brandon Lunn was out there making hits. Joe Hess. So they had a number of guys. Ethan Olsen was kind of all over the field too. So aside from just their top two guys who, you know, are one of the best we have in the area, I think they got a lot of big hits from a lot of people tonight. It was a true team defense there that West Salem threw at Logan, and Logan just couldn't do anything with it.
It'll be interesting to see. It's obviously teams going in two different directions, and Todd, you mentioned that Logan, you know, played pretty well last week against Central, but get handled this way, and they have a tough schedule. We were talking earlier, the remaining games, and it'll be tough for them to make the playoffs. And it's, West Salem seems to be rolling. It's just, like I say, teams going in opposite directions entering week seven.
And that's the thing with West Salem. They have the one loss, and it was to Holman. It was a 20-0 game, but when West Salem was getting on the bus, they had to be happy that night. I mean, they got the loss, but they
was
played
that
very
in that game.
They had no Holt. They had no Glassmaker in that game.
Right,
it's two of your top guys, and I thought aside from one big run that Holman had that night, they had a 50-some yarder that Holden had in the second half. But aside from that, Holman moved the ball well, but West Salem fought him on every carry and played really well defensively, I thought, without their two top guys. So this is a team that the defense hasn't played a bad game yet.
And we'll talk quite a bit about the playoffs throughout the podcast here, because we are in week six. That means we've got three games left, and everyone's starting to jostle for position, kind of looking at who they have left on their schedule. What games can we win? What games do we really need to make sure that we win to get in the playoffs? We had a couple of teams in the MVC, Onalaska and Holman, punch their ticket tonight. They know that they're going to have at least a 10th week. But like we mentioned, Logan's going to have a tough time now with really Aquinas left on the schedule as a game you penciled in as a win for them, you know, before it starts. Other than that, it's just going to be really tough for the Rangers.
Holman next week.
Holman next week for them. I mean, almost do or die.
They're fighting for their lives in that game, Logan is.
Absolutely. Let's move over to Central. Like we mentioned, the big upset of the night. Sparta gets a 17-12 win. Sparta, who we've talked a lot about on these podcasts, about just the rough ways that they've been losing games, just letting leads slip at the end or getting Logan beat them on a crazy last-second field goal. Just Sparta's pretty much found every way you could lose last week, 62-55, scoring every time they had the ball, pretty much just finally getting through the win column in the conference here. Jeff, I know you talked to Adam Dow, their coach. What was kind of the...
He talked to Happy Adam Dow.
Yeah, Happy Adam. We haven't caught Happy Adam Dow yet, but what was kind of the vibe from Sparta? How were they able to pull this off tonight?
He was indeed a happy Adam Dow, but he was relieved too. And I think it's one of those deals where he said you take it on the chin a couple times, you can kind of, you know, pout and walk away and feel sorry for yourself, or you can stand up and just come back fighting like you know what. And they did. He just kept talking about his defense. You know, Wisniewski had a really good game. A solid game. He was 6-13 for 128. And he rushed for 66. But it was all about the defense. He was really proud of the way defense got after Johnny Davis. They didn't give him time to throw. They never let him be comfortable. I don't know how many sacks they had. He didn't have that tallied up. But
he said they had at least five.
At least five.
And five against Johnny Davis is a big deal.
And they picked him off twice. And he said they just never let him get comfortable, which not a lot of teams have been able to do this year. So that, you know, it was you know, kind of fun for, you know, Sparta. Speaking of playoffs, is probably not going to make it, but you know, to have a big win like that in a program first year for Coach Dow and turning the program around, and it's a building block. It's something they'll definitely they played well on defense and did just enough offensively to get it done.
And to sack Johnny Davis that many times, that says to me that the pressure wasn't just coming from one place, because Johnny Davis is the type of athlete that he could get away from if it's just coming from one side or whatever it happens to be. Sparta was getting all over the place, at least from the sounds of it. So that's a pretty great performance for them, especially for a defense that last week.
Gets up 62.
I don't know, maybe they just enjoy the colder weather because last week was so hot and awful. But, like, that is a massive turnaround immediately like that. And to the Sparta defense credit here, Central scored two touchdowns, but one of them was on a kick return. So, I mean, their offense only got one scoring drive together. So, just Sparta really took one of the best offenses we have in the area in Central and shut it down for pretty much the whole game.
I mean, yeah. John, there was a lot of footballs in the air. Johnny, you know, threw 38 passes and completed 21 of them for 209 yards. But, you know, Sparta was able to, you know, stop him from getting the big play. And, you know, and it's like
and Central's about the big play.
Yes. Yeah,
they are.
And in third downs, they were able, I guess, to really, you know, get after him and stop him. So, again, that's a big win for Sparta when you're building.
Yeah, and Cole Wisniewski continues to just grow and develop as their quarterback. You mentioned he had a couple of touchdowns and another pass to Nick Church, who had a huge game against Onalaska last week. You mentioned, Jeff, just the building block that this can be with staying competitive in all these games that they used to get blown out in. You know, that was nice enough for the first year, but now to get a signature win for this first season, they can build on the rest of it and in the summer move it on.
We've all heard about the moral victories, and moral victories suck.
Right, and, absolutely.
You know, you can come so close and give you, well, you still lost, and you played well, but you still lost. And now to walk up the field, and he was still on the field when I talked to him, and that was a half hour, 40 minutes after the game. So I'm sure they were soaking it up, and deservedly so, but it'll be interesting. I always look at next week and how they bounce back. How will Central bounce back from this? Because it's a game they probably thought they were going to win and maybe should have won. Who knows? But now they got to bounce back too.
Absolutely. Moving over to the game I was at tonight with Caledonia. Just another dominant performance by them. 45th win in a row. It's a recurring segment on this podcast of how many wins in a row for them. But according to Max Preps, one of the national high school websites, they're tied for the third longest high school winning streak in the country. Obviously, Kimberly lost earlier this year to end that one, which was number one to start the season. But it was funny. I'm walking off the field with Carl Frickte, the head coach over at Caledonia, to go up to the locker room. And I'd say before I mention the stat, I know you don't care, and I know you haven't seen it. But apparently this is like the
and
third
longest. He probably didn't even know.
No, he didn't. He did not know. No. But this is apparently the third longest win streak. And he just kind of like looked at me. Okay.
Are you telling me Carl Frickte is not a social media whiz?
Right. Not only that, but hey, something that's really cool. Like you have one of the longest winning streaks in the country among high school teams. All right. Yeah. Sounds good.
Caledonia, it's all about the end result. And you mentioned the winning streak. You could. It doesn't matter if he has a running back. You go up and say, you know, so-and-so had 240 yards today. He'll just say, okay. I mean, it's just they look for kids to live up to expectations there, and either you live up to the expectation or you don't. He's not going to fawn all over people, even though he certainly has all the respect in the world for what they do. But all he's looking at is did the team win the game? If they won the game, you know, he'll look at for reasons why, but he's not going to sit there and say, man, did you see him do all this and then, you know, make this cut and all that. He'll talk about those kinds of things in general, but that's one thing I can tell you from being here over the years. Caledonia doesn't care anything about stats. They just want to win the game.
Absolutely. But to your point, why Caledonia won this game, they gave up 8 total first downs and 3 of them were on their own penalties. So Lewis Nelter could not move the ball at all, while Caledonia almost had 500 yards, 489 finishing. Quarterback Noah King, I almost called him Owen. Whoops. Noah King had 159 yards passing and a touchdown, then 2 touchdowns on the ground, about 35 yards for him. But then the two guys that really stuck out to me, Jack Beardmore with 109 yards and a touchdown, and then Nick McCabe, 111 yards and 2 touchdowns. When you have the passing ability that Noah King gives you, and they're really good receivers as well, and then the offensive line just mauling people up front and making all those rooms for running, there's not much a defense can do. Just hope that you throw them the ball or hope that you put the ball on the ground to really stop you.
And McCabe and Beardmore are experienced backs. They haven't been guys to carry the load. But with Caledonia getting so many one-sided wins, these guys are on the field a lot and have been for the last 2 and even 3 years. At least getting carries and getting experience out there. And they're both really quick, too.
Absolutely.
That's one thing. They're both capable of pulling off something big if there's the smallest of openings for them.
The only thing that surprises me, you know, Noah King, just watch him in hoops. He's a very talented athlete, very strong. But he's thrown a few picks this year. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if that does make it a little closer game.
Yeah.
Probably one more when they lose. But obviously they've got so many other, you know, weapons and stuff. But, you know, it's interesting. You know, he's developing as a first-year quarterback, too.
And he's definitely not – it's admirable to a point where he's not afraid to try to throw it in a tight window. It's just when you – like you mentioned, Jeff, when you're starting to play better teams and they're going to be a playoff team, that's just the calendar they're going to get in. Mm-hmm. But that might catch up to you if you have to face somebody that's not going to let you hold the ball as much as some of these other teams that they play.
If that's the case, he'll just run it more.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, they'll figure it out.
Yeah,
but
shut them out. Yeah, they'll find a way to deal.
A couple of their other two sport guys that are multiple sport guys, Tate Miners had a fumble recovery on a punt that was a rugby style. They had to fight in a pile four, so that was a big one there. An interception at the end of the first half, and then he also had a fumble recovery for a touchdown in the first half. And then Kyle Kavanaugh, their state champion wrestler from last year, had 7 receptions for 71 yards. Plays a little slot receiver for them. A lot of bubble screens because Lewis Melcher was just trying to bring the house off the edge. So it was really wide open for those. But just another dominant Caledonia performance that it was good to get out there and just see all those people, even with it being cold and not the most pleasant night out there. Stands are packed and the whole area around it, so everybody's standing around full. So it's a good atmosphere over at Caledonia.
It is. It's always a cool atmosphere there. They always have people lining the fence, and the town's very proud of that team, and they show up in droves to watch them.
Okay, Colton. Cold mosquitoes.
Oh, I'll take cold every day. Cold. I had multiple people come up. I'm wearing polo and shorts, but multiple people asking if I needed a jacket or something. Like, one, your jacket's not going to fit me. And two, like, no, I'm good. This is my weather. Yes. I am basically a polar bear. I was very happy.
I saw one of the tweets that I laughed very out loud in the office here. Nobody's around to hear me, but I did laugh at the, yeah.
This is my time to shine. This weather. Is big people's time.
Yeah, that's what it was. Right? Big people time.
Yes. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast tonight. You can read all of our coverage from all these games, videos, other podcasts on lacrossetribune.com. Watch or follow on Sunday for the prep football follow. We'll have some follow-up stuff, some more from Sparta on their big win, and a couple other things from around the area. And then coming up in the next week or so, we'll have some more kind of playoff scenario preview stuff, kind of getting you ready for the last 3 weeks of regular season high school football as we get ready for the playoffs, which, you know, we started this season not knowing how many teams we're going to have with a real shot now, or a real shot once we get to the playoffs. Now seeing all these games, it's like, hey, we probably got a handful of 10 teams that could make a run if things break right for them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who gets in, because I think we will have a lot of teams that are going to be fighting the last week to get in. And we just the way the numbers are, we're going to get a certain number of teams in, but the big question is, what can they do once they get there, like you said? And, you know, after seeing, I'm a lot more convinced on a team like Holman after watching them play as to what they have. I mean, they lost so many key players from last year. You know, how can they, you know, plug people in and do it again? And they got beat the first 2 weeks, and now they come back just looking like world beaters after that. They might be able to do a run. We know what Bangor can do. We know what Caledonia can do. But aside from them, it'll be fun to see what the others can put together at the right time.
And you know, Caledonia, they got a couple extra season, regular season games left after Wisconsin, but they'll be making a trip to Minneapolis. They seem like they always do, and they one of these years they'll get challenged and still win, but they seem to be so dominant, especially when it comes to playoff time. They're so focused and so tough.
All right. That's going to do it for us, but follow us along at lacrossetribune.com, and we will be back next week.